Our reading from God's Word this morning will be taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, nurtured in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress might be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Over the last few weeks, we have examined the important truth that God's grace shapes us into people who serve in the local body of believers. Now, God's grace does other things. It motivates us to share the gospel with the lost. God's grace motivates us to live holy lives. But one of the things that God's grace motivates us to do is to be devoted to the local church. And we've found this truth in Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says, quote, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love," Romans 12, verse 10. We are told that we are the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, each of us is a member. And as a member of the body of Christ, we all have a responsibility to the body. As Paul would write, every part is to do its share, so that the body will grow and edify itself in love, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. And so, if we're going to be the body of Christ, as we read about in the New Testament, then we've got to reject this passive, inactive Christianity that is so prevalent in our day. And we need to bind ourselves together and serve one another as a local body of believers. But it's one thing to know that we ought to do that, and it's an entirely different thing to be the kind of people who do that. For example, you can take a person and you can dress them up in a police uniform and you can put them out on the street. But if they don't know the laws and if they don't care about their community, then they are basically nothing more than a dressed up mannequin. In the same way, God can save us by His grace and place us in His kingdom. But if we don't know His word and if we don't care about His people, we are little more than Christian mannequins. But thankfully, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul gives us a very thorough description of what it takes to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And what we learn is that to be a good servant of Jesus Christ is not just something you do, it's something that you are. That acceptable service radiates from a certain lifestyle. And I want to begin this morning with this important principle. It's taken from verse 14, where Paul tells Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you." Now here is Timothy. Here is a man who has traveled with the Apostle Paul. He is one of the spiritual leaders of the church in Ephesus, and yet he has to be reminded, don't neglect your service in the body of Christ. And it seems to me that if Timothy needs to be encouraged not to neglect his gift and to use it in serving the body of Christ, then we all need that encouragement. Now, Timothy's gift, as it says in verse 14, was given to him by God. It was acknowledged by other believers, and it was a gift that he was to use for the good of the local church there in Ephesus. And now, we may not have the same exact work that Timothy had, but we all have a work to do. And it all comes from God. And it is to be used for God's purposes and for God's people. As Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one serve others. Is what Paul and Peter said. And so our service is not something that we are to neglect. We are not to put it off. We are not to ignore it. Why? Because souls are at stake. That's how Paul ends this chapter in verse 16 by saying, "For in doing this," that is, not neglecting your gift, but using it for the good of the body, "in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." As clearly as I can say it, if we are not serving, we are sleeping and our souls are in jeopardy. And if we are not serving, then others are starving and their souls are in jeopardy. Yes, the work of serving the body is a difficult, time-consuming, thankless, and exhausting task. But we do it because souls are at stake. And therefore it becomes a joyful thing to serve in the body of Christ. As Paul would say in one place in Philippians chapter 2, he said, "I am being poured out as a drink offering and a sacrifice on the service of your faith, and I am glad and I greatly rejoice." When you understand that your service, although it's sacrifice, although it's pouring out like a drink offering, when it is for the faith of your brothers and sisters in Christ, you do it with joy. You do it with gladness. We need to recognize that even our own souls are at stake. There is no way to grow in our faith without serving. Without continual, earnest service, we will fall asleep. I'm not talking about in the services, I'm talking about in our eternal life. He says, don't neglect the gift that was given you. Use it to serve the body. For in so doing, you will save both yourself and those who benefit from your service. Now, the identifying marks that we find in this chapter, I hope what we are now is motivated to use our gift, to serve as Scripture teaches us in the body of Christ. But if we're going to do that, what we find in this chapter is that we've got to be a certain kind of person. And this is not easy. It does not come quickly. It requires a life change. And there is no shortcut. There is no skipping to the end. If you're going to be a good minister, a good servant of Jesus Christ, then you have to be a certain kind of person. Notice how it says in verse 6, this wonderful statement that Paul makes, verse 6, he says, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now remember, that word minister there is not how we use it today. We use minister to refer to one person in the church. The word minister is simply the word servant, and it is applied to every member of the church. And so what Paul does in this text is he identifies for Timothy and for all of us what it takes to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And where being a good servant of Jesus Christ begins is in who we are. I can't just give you and me a bunch of tasks and say, if we do all these tasks, we're good servants of Jesus Christ. It's not what this text says. Being a good servant of Jesus Christ is more than the task that we do. It is about the kind of people that we are. And like I said, it's not easy. And I don't offer you any shortcuts today. I don't offer you any skipping to the end. Good ministers of Jesus Christ are made from the inside out. And it begins with eating the right things. We're there in verse 6, you see, where he says, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. The word nourish there is the idea of eating something that gives you strength. And what gives us strength to serve is the Word of God. Now, we can have a lot of special events, and we do from time to time in this church. And those special events create momentary excitement. But what builds the strength of a servant is the Word of God. The Word of God is what gives us the strength to serve. I've seen that this week in our bulletins. You get a little sheet in the middle of your bulletin that is a thematic study. And we're doing that together all year. And our study last week was about being a good example. And as a family, we read those verses about what it meant to be a good example. You know what? That time in the Word found its way into our prayer life, to where I found the kids were praying at dinner time about being a good example. It found its way into how I was acting when I was at the store, thinking about myself, hey, I'm supposed to be an example of what a Christian ought to look like. In other words, when you spend time in the Word, it nourishes you so that you have the strength to serve. And the reason it's so important to spend time in the Word is because the world is full of a lot of spiritual trash. There's a lot of lies and error in the world around us. The Spirit said it would be this way. Look at verse 1. The Spirit expressly says, in other words, you can count on this, that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. People will speak lies and not care because their conscience is seared. And in the place of truth, people will seek to live by stories they invent rather than the Word of God. And I can't think of a clearer description of the media of our culture today. What we read and what we see and what we hear in the media of our culture is not based upon the values of the Lord. It's based upon the stories and the inventions of men. In fact, it's interesting to me that if you talk to a lot of people and ask them, what motivates your life? Why do you live the way you live? And many people will point to some fictional character on a TV show or on some movie that is the inspiration of how they live. We are to offer the world something different than that. What motivates us is that we're nourished in the words of the gospel. We are nourished in good doctrine, as Paul would put it. And you know, the same is true not only in culture, but also often in religion. A lot of religions are based on the personalities and the teachings of men, or they're based upon what the traditions of a church have always been. And I want to suggest that all of these things are spiritual junk food, and they do not nourish us as servants of Jesus Christ. Let me suggest that if you find in your own life that you have not been serving in the kingdom as you ought to have been, you might check your diet. Because when you are nourished in the words of truth, in good doctrine, you can't help but be a good servant of Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. But let me give you another warning about listening to and watching all of the spiritual trash that's out there. Because literally, everything we think has an impact on our minds. I use that word impact for a reason. It's literally making an impact on our minds. Tony Buzan has revealed, he's done some research on the mind, and his research has revealed that what we think actually changes the electrochemical and electromagnetic biochemical transfers that take place in our minds. What he says is it's basically like this. Our mind is like a forest. And if you want to make a path from one section of your mind to another in order to make a memory, you have to take a bulldozer. And that bulldozer goes through the trees of the forest and it knocks down some of the trees. And so the first time through that path, it's kind of difficult. You have to move a lot of things to make the path. But once you go down that path again and again and again and again, it becomes a thoroughfare that's easy and smooth to get down, and you have made a lasting memory. Your electromagnetic, biochemical paths have actually changed. To the point, he says, that in other words, the more times a mental event happens, the more likely it is to happen again. The point is this. If we spend most of our days thinking about what the world thinks about and wanting what the world wants and watching what the world puts out and listening to what the world says, if we spend most of our time hearing, seeing, and thinking about those things, we've made a trench in our minds that's worldly. And there's just no way to live like a servant of Christ with that kind of thinking. What we need to do is nourish ourselves with good doctrine, to where our mind is thinking along the lines of God's Word and God's ways and how God thinks about things. And then you can be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Eat the right things and refuse the trash. And if you're going to eat the right things, it's no wonder that Timothy is told by Paul that he needs to be enthusiastic about the good doctrine. He needs to be good, enthusiastic about the Word of God. We are not to have a casual or indifferent relationship with the Word of God. Look at these words with me in verse 13. He says, verse 6, let's begin. He talks about the good doctrine which he, notice, carefully followed. Verse 13, he says, give attention to reading it. Verse 15, meditate on it. Verse 15, give yourself entirely to it. Verse 16, evaluate how well you're doing. Would you say that you are enthusiastic about knowing and hearing and learning about God's Word? Because that's an essential quality to being a good servant of Jesus Christ. Now, some people will say, oh, I just can't stay awake. Whenever I open my Bible, I just get sleepy and tired. I can't stay awake for a sermon, and Bible class is too hard to stay awake. And those of us who say things like that can sit down in front of an hour and a half movie and never blink and tell each other the exact words of the dialogue when the thing is finished. It seems to me that it has something to do with what we love more than what we are capable of. We need to eat the right things if we're going to be the servants of the Lord, good servants of Jesus Christ, enthusiastic about the Word, rejecting those spiritual junk food, if you will. And then once you have received enthusiastically the Word and rejected the ways of the world, you need to be active in sharing what you've learned. The fact is that if we can't share it, we've never had it. And if you're to the point where I just can't share anything with anyone about the Lord, then you haven't put enough in yet. Because you can't share what you don't own. And what I find in these verses is that what made Timothy a good servant of Jesus Christ is he shared the truth with others. Verse 6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, teach and command these things. Verse 16, people will be saved when they hear you. One of the most helpful acts of service that we can provide to each other is to talk about the Word with each other. It is somewhat discouraging to me to be in the presence of somebody who's been a Christian for a long time and they have a very difficult time talking about the Word of the Lord. It's uncomfortable to them. So it's quickly turned to a joke or quickly turned to another subject. Good ministers of Jesus Christ are so nourished in the words of truth that they love to talk about it with one another. It's one of the most encouraging things that we can do. So being a good servant of Jesus Christ, it does not begin, let me say, it does not begin with programs or events. I'm not saying that we can't have programs, we can't have events. We certainly do here. We have our work group going to meet tonight, and they've been doing excellent service. But I'm saying to us, that's not where it begins. Being a good servant of Jesus Christ begins with nourishing ourselves in the Word of God. Because unless we fill ourselves with God's ways, we will not be able to give out God's ways. The order is absolutely important. Secondly, once you're eating the right things, take the next step and start exercising. That's what we see in verse 7. Notice he says, I want you to be nourished. That's that eating terminology in verse 6. And then I want you to exercise. Verse 7, reject godless myths and old wives' fables and exercise yourself rather to godliness. It takes both of those, doesn't it? Takes both of those. But the exercise that he gives us to do here is not the exercise I would have expected. I would have expected for Paul to say, now, go serve the widows who are in need. Now, go teach the lost. Go strengthen the weak. But that's not the exercise he gives us to do in this text. The exercise he gives us to do is more fundamental than that. It's a little bit like the football player lifting weights. You know, in the weight room, what's he doing? He's lifting barbells. But when he gets out on the field, does he do his work by lifting barbells? No. He throws a ball. But it's the lifting of the barbells it makes him more proficient at throwing the ball. And so what we see in this text is that fundamental gymnasium workout that helps us then be effective servants when we do serve. And what he tells us to exercise ourselves in is godliness. Now that word godliness has often been misunderstood. It does not mean God-likeness. I was taught that early on, and that was not helpful. The word godliness is the idea of reverence or respect, awe, or even fear of someone who is in a position of authority, like a ruler or a governor or even a parent. It's this idea of reverence and awe and respect. In fact, a better way of understanding godliness, if you want a short definition, is God awareness. Godliness is being godly aware. And what that means is that we live our lives every day with an understanding of who God is and God's ways. And so I'm not so concerned when I wake up on Monday morning about what I want to do. And I'm not concerned on Friday night about how I'm going to enjoy my pleasures. And I am not so concerned about what my boss wants or what my culture thinks. What I am aware of, what I am reverencing and honoring is God. And so I face each day thinking, what does God want me to think? How would God have me to act? It is to become God-centered in our view of life rather than self-centered or worldly-centered. And that's something you got to exercise yourself to. You got to wake up in the morning and say, I'm doing my exercise today. What's my exercise? I'm going to be aware of God today. That's my exercise. You know, a few years ago, they had these bracelets that said, WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? It was a way of becoming God aware as people walked their daily lives. In your bulletins today, I've given you a verse. And that verse is a verse that will help you exercise yourself to godliness this week. Cut it out of the piece of paper. Cut it out of the bulletin. Take it with you this week. It says this, Proverbs 15, verse 2, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. You take that verse, you live every day this week exercising that verse, you know what? You'll be exercising yourself to godliness, and it will make you a great servant. But then secondly, exercise your example. There will always be people around us that will look down upon us for various reasons. It doesn't matter who you are. They're going to look down on you because you're young, or they're going to look down on you because you're old, or they're going to look down on you because you're a man, or because you're a woman, or because you're rich, or because you're poor, because you're this race, or because you're that race. And there's always going to be people who look down. What Paul says is when they look down, then you be a good example. That's what he says in verse 12. He says to Timothy, he says, you don't let anyone despise your youth. Instead, you be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. The fact is I can't do a lot about a lot of those externals that people look down on me for. But I can work on my character and my example. And that's the thing that matters the most anyway. And so Paul says, work on your example this week. In word, that is what you say. Be a good example this week. Do not let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Watch your words. Watch your conduct this week. He says in verse 12 there, be an example in your conduct. Be able to say like Paul did, follow my example as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. So be an example of how you talk and how you act. And then he says, be an example in your relationship with others about your attitude and how you love. Be an example in love. Owe no man anything except to love one another, for love has fulfilled the law. Romans 13, verse 8. And then be a good example of your relationship with God. A good example in your relationship with yourself, how you talk, how you act. A good example in your relationship with others and that how you love them. And then a good example in your relationship with God. Be a person of faith that trusts in God's ways and God's word and proves yourself to be faithful in your service to Him. Be a good example. And our world certainly needs that. Our world has a lot of examples of people who don't live for the Lord. And they need us. If we're going to be good servants of Jesus Christ, we got to fill ourselves with God's Word. We got to get out there and exercise ourselves to godliness and exercise our example in the sight of others. And then, number three, one more important quality of a servant of Jesus Christ, and that is to keep at it. To keep at it. All of us here feed on God's Word sometimes, don't we? And all of us here are God-centered and live a good example sometimes, don't we? The challenge is doing it all the time and sticking to it. And that's what Paul encourages Timothy to do. He says to Timothy, show some progress. In fact, this verse, verse 15, I think is one of the verses that in my early preaching life, I said to myself more than perhaps any other verse. Where he says there in verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them so that your progress might be evident to all. If we're going to be good servants of Jesus Christ, people ought to be able to see spiritual growth taking place within us. We ought to be so immersed in learning God's Word and living God's way that people say, I see a difference in you. And you don't get that by just treating your faith as a weekend activity. And you don't make that progress by just sputtering in your faith where you're on today and you're off tomorrow. Progress is made by meditating on these things and giving yourself entirely to them. If we're going to be servants of Jesus Christ, we need to do that and keep at it and keep at it until our friends and our neighbors and our brothers and our sisters in Christ and our family says to us, man, I see you're getting different. You're growing. You're learning. You are making progress. And we need to be able to do that progress even when it gets hard. In verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, exercise yourself and nourish yourself. And to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Paul acknowledges, yeah, being a servant of Jesus Christ isn't always easy. It's called labor. It is called suffering. It brings about reproach. But what do then? We keep on serving. We keep on filling ourselves with the Word. We keep on exercising our faith. And we just keep on doing it. Why? Oh, as we've already said, souls are at stake, ours and others. But why? Verse 10 there says, because we trust in the living God. We're working for a God that is eternal. And His work is more important than anything else that is done. So the saving is in the continuing, and the serving doesn't need the end. The activities of a good servant, eat the right things, exercise the right way, and keep on after it. You know, the scriptures are clear. Each of us is to use our gifts for the good of the body of Christ and for the kingdom of the Lord. And I believe most of us here want to do that. But if we're going to be successful at doing that, we need to do these things. We need to do these things first. Last week was National Signing Day, which for the uninitiated, what that means is that it was the day that high school football players announced which university they were going to go play for. And the fact that that has become such a big deal in our country probably says more about us than I would like to talk about this morning. But it is a big deal all over the news. These top high school recruits, where are they going to go? Who are they going to play for? Everybody's so excited. We have experts in this field now. Experts. We got cancer and crime everywhere. We got people who are experts on who's going to go who to what place to play college football. Nonetheless, I need to stop that. But the point I want to make is I heard a sports commentator this week make a comment about signing day that I thought was very applicable to our lesson today. He said this: there are a lot of big, strong young men in this country who love to play football. And that's not going to determine their success. The most important question that needs to be asked is not their size or their scoring record or what high school they played for. He said the most important question to answer is this: do they spend time in the weight room and are they coachable? That, more than anything else, will determine who's successful. And I believe he's true. Do they spend time in the weight room? And are they coachable? If we're going to be successful in the service of the kingdom of God, we got to spend time in the weight room, filling ourselves with God's word and doing godly exercises. We need to see if we're coachable or not. If we listen to what God says he wants for our life rather than our own desires and wants. Or to put it another way, you must do the work in the kitchen before you get to the table. Now, let me describe what that means, because we've lost what that means, as our brother has said around the Lord's table. We go out to eat, right? And we say, I want an X, and then it shows up, and we eat. And we have lost, for the most part, all the work that goes to getting the food on the table. What goes to getting the food on the table is the planting, the cultivating, the harvesting, the picking, the processing, the bringing it to the place where we're going to fix it. It is then the preparation of it and the cooking of it and the putting it on the table before we ever get it. The reason we can eat is because all the work that was done beforehand. We all want to be servants of Jesus Christ. We want this church to grow and edify itself in love. We want that. We can't have that unless we do the preparation. Preparation is what we've talked about this morning. It's what Paul told Timothy he needed to do to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. He'll make us good ministers of Jesus Christ. As important as serving is the last step. The eating and the exercising and the staying at it is where service really happens. If you're here this morning and you've been a child of God, but you haven't been serving in the kingdom as you ought to have, why don't you talk with one of us today? Me, one of the elders, one of the deacons, one of the members, and say, hey, listen, I want to get to this. I want to start filling myself with God's word. I want to start serving. And we'd love to help you do that. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you haven't started in this most important effort of life, that is serving in the kingdom of God, being right with your Father. We'd love this morning to be able to bring you into the family of God in the way that God has said, not us. Jesus said, go preach the gospel to everyone, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And this morning, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you're willing to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, he can make you part of his family. If you need to do that this morning, why don't you come as we stand and sing together?